1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And again, I will try my best. There's a lot in this message. I'll try my best not to be long. I heard of a long-winded preacher one time, and he got preaching and preaching, and he preached half an hour and 45 minutes and an hour, and then he was approaching an hour and a half, and people were doing the high school head nods, you know, the back, and he looked around, he saw that people weren't paying attention as he started his second hour of preaching, and he said, "Listen, it was Jesus that brought me here, and it'd be Jesus that'll take me out of here." And the choir stood and sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Amen. So I promise I'll not go too long tonight. Amen. I really won't. I think it's so, this is such an important message for us folks as a church. And so I'd like to arrest your attention beginning in verse number 12. Let's stand if you would. We'll read down through verse number 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, beginning in verse 12. I'll read the even-numbered verses. If you would, read the odd-numbered verses aloud. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, reading down through verse 18, and we'll read verse 18 together. Verse number 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" Let's read verse 18 together. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." That's the title of our message tonight, "As It Hath Pleased Him." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We rejoice. What a great day in church today. Thank you for the two that joined our fellowship today. Lord, thank you for the hearts that were stirred. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'd continue your working in people's lives. Lord, thank you for, Lord, the visitation yesterday. And Lord, we thank you so much for, Lord, the funeral service we were able to have and be a blessing yesterday. And we thank you so much for Hazel, Lord. We pray that you'd bless Brother Fred tonight, God. Encourage him. Lord, help us to be a blessing to him. We pray that you'd bless this message now. And Lord, as we consider this idea of the local church being a body, and Lord, as it hath pleased him, he'd put the members in it. We love you. Thank you for all that you give to us. Bless us and fill us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Have you ever stopped and considered the miracle of the human body? Consider the eye. Listen to this quote. It'll astonish you. "To suppose that the eye, with all its inimitable contrivances," how about that for a word, "for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration, could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree." Charles Darwin, Origin of the Species. Think about your eye that literally focuses millions of times per second. The greatest camera that has ever been on planet Earth is the one you have in your head. You have two of them, amen? Have you ever considered the miracle of the hand? I'm sure Miss Sherry is obviously right now. She had that hand surgery. She thinks about that movement of hand. And you think about those 27 bones, those 14 knuckles that you have. They can move independent or as a group. And yet, you'd look at them and you say, "Well, why are they different lengths and one's taller than the other?" But put your hand around a baseball and you'll have a perfect circle where your fingers and thumb go. Think about the miracle of the body, the foot. You know, I remember reading in the Old Testament that when a king would transgress against the people of God, that the Bible says they would cut off his great toe. And I never had any problem with that until I stumped my toe. Amen? Have you ever stubbed your toe? I remember it was so funny. My wife, she came in one day and she said, I stubbed my toe. And me being just the preacher, the man of God I am, full of compassion, I said, Brother Heath, I said, who does that? She laughed and was a couple days later, I'm not kidding, I was walking along and I was out in the yard and I wasn't paying attention. There was a cement slab right there and bang, I stubbed my toe and oh, I came in. I mean, I peeled the skin back, the nail was cracked, everything. I said, oh, wow, ow. She said, what's the matter? I said, I stubbed my toe. And she said, who does that? Vindictive woman, amen. My nickname for her when she gets like that is Mara Wormwood, amen? Bitter, bitter woman, amen? No, but I'll tell you what, you don't appreciate all the adjustments that your foot makes for you. All those adjustments that are made in your foot. How about the human brain? What an amazing machine the human brain is. You know, man is the crown of God's creation, and all God's people said. Amen. We don't believe man came from a tadpole that crawled up on a rock and sunned itself for a few billion years. We believe that God created man out of the dust of the earth, as Genesis tells us. Heard a preacher say one time, he said, you're nothing but souped up dust. I like that. Think about the human brain. The human body and its inner workings are God's greatest proverbial slap in the face of the godless thought and philosophy of evolution. See, God has put the human body together as it hath pleased him. He has. In 1 Corinthians, we have here the writing of the Apostle Paul. He was writing to this church, and this church was wrought with sin. It was, in fact, the most carnal church that Paul wrote to, perhaps battling with Laodicea, if you want to consider the churches. But of all the churches that Paul wrote to, this was definitely the most carnal. If you'll study each chapter, you'll find a problem in each chapter. This was not the model church, I'll tell you that right now. But God, through his preacher to this church, refers to the local church as a body. A body. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says this, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ and every one members of another. You only have two hands, amen? You don't have eight hands. You don't have a hand sticking out of the middle of your head. The whole body's not one big hand, unless you're the, I don't know, hamburger helper guy or something, amen? No, God hath tempered the body as it hath pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. See, Paul here uses the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians as one giant illustration of the relationship between the members of the body and the saints of the local church. I'm going to talk about gifts tonight. If you would, look at verse 7, number 1, point number 1. I want you to look at the provision of gifts. The provision of gifts. Verse number 7 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit worth all. Am I reading the right verse? I am. Amen. I'm looking for a different verse. I'm hunting for a different verse, though. And there are diversities of gifts. Verse 6, that's what I'm looking for. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh in all. All can do something in the local church. You say, well, I'm old. I've served my time. No, 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 no. God wants you to do something. We read a verse tonight, Pastor Mayer, was Psalm 104. It said, as long as I live, I will sing praises to the Lord. I want you to notice in verses 4 and 14, there are diversities of gifts. It says there, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. God gives us each different gifts. Aren't you glad when you hear a quartet sing and you hear that diversity of gifts? You hear that bass voice, amen, like Brother Merrill. Brother Merrill gets into the basement, amen, when he sings. And then you hear that beautiful soprano. See, that's diversity of God. There's a diverse, each of us has different gifts. Not everyone is supposed to be doing the same thing. And God has enabled you to do something in this church. There are diversities of gifts. I want you to also notice the distribution of gifts. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is giving to every man to profit with all. Look down at verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You see, God is the one who distributes the gifts. God is the one who distributes the gifts. And he hath given us gifts in this church body as it hath pleased him. I'm convinced that everything for the successful functioning of this church is right here in this room. Right here in this room. That's the distribution of gifts. Thirdly, I want you to notice, if you would, the division of gifts. You see, folks, there are two kinds of gifts. If you'll go back to Mark chapter 16, and this is where people get nervous, amen? Mark 16, oh, gifts of Mark 16. Oh, he's going to talk about the sign gifts. Amen, I am going to talk about the sign gifts. Mark chapter 16. And I'll just tell you, if you have a Scofield Bible, you can ignore the note at the bottom of page, whatever it is on Mark chapter 16, where it says that the last, I don't know how many verses it ends, I think they say it ends at verse 9 in your Scofield Bible. Just cross that out, amen? See, I was wrong once or twice, amen? The Word of God's never wrong, praise the Lord. Those verses belong in there. Verse number, if you would, look at verse 15. What a great verse to make your life verse. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This has been used as a proof text for people that say you have to be baptized to be saved, but I hope you'll notice the second part of the verse. It says, he that believeth not is baptized not, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Moving on to verse 17. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You see, these folks are the first division of gifts called the sign gift. They were sign gifts. They were signs that were given to the apostles to authenticate their ministry and give them credibility that they were true apostles. But you know, sign gifts were never intended to be continued forever. Folks, the best example I ever heard from this was from the chairman of our Bible department, Dr. Harry Carr. He said this, and it stuck with me for so long. He said, when you paint a house, and you don't want somebody to lean up against it, you put up a sign that says, wet paint. But you know, after the paint's dry, you don't need the sign anymore. You know, folks, can I say this spiritually? The paint's dry. Here it is. God gave it to you, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. See, there's no need for sign gifts anymore. There's no need. And so, we have two types of gifts. We have sign gifts. And then if you'll go to Romans chapter 12, we have service gifts. Service gifts. And those are the gifts that are practical for our local church today, for this body of believers here in Jackson. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 gives the gift list. And it says there, look at verse number 4. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. Again, we're not just one big foot or one big head or one big hand. The body has arms and fingers and toes and legs and all kinds of parts. So we, being many, are one body in Christ And every one members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. See, every gift comes from God. Amen. James tells us that. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 17. And there come from the grace of God, whether prophecy, that idea of proclaiming truth. Amen. Preaching. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry. This has the idea of serving or helping. You see it there in verse number 7. Or let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. When I think of teaching or teachers, I think of a person like an engineer. They love to explain things. That's a teacher. That's a gift from God. Amen. It ought to be used for God. Verse number 8. Or he that exhorteth. That has the idea of coming alongside and helping, being a blessing one to another. Can I tell you that our beloved Fred Casabo is going to need some exhortation in these next weeks and months? He's going to need some exhorting. He's going to need some people to come alongside and help. See, that's a gift that God gives to us. How about the next verse? Every preacher's favorite. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Amen. Giving. People have the gift of giving. Some people love to give. Now listen, we're all commanded to give, the tenth. But beyond that, there are some people that just love to give. It's a gift from God. God gives them the ability to give that others don't have. Then it says ruling. He that ruleth with diligence. The idea of administrating or organizing, overseeing. And then, of course, I love this one. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy, compassion, encouragement. You see, there are two types of gift. There are the sign gifts, the wet paint sign. We don't need it anymore. Amen? The paint's dry. These are the service gifts that God gives to the local church. Let me look at not only the provision of gifts, but let's look at problems concerning gifts. See, the first thing we can see there is disunity. Back in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, disunity in the body. And that is not using that gift for the body. Look at verses 12 through 14. Verses 12 through 14. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Jump down to verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. See, the picture that Paul is giving here is there were fightings in the church of Corinth. And he gives the illustration of the body to help us to imagine that. Imagine if as I'm preaching, my arm said, and go like this, or up like this. And my leg went like this and said, we're not doing anything because I'm not the arm, and I'm not the foot, and I want to be both. And this is the idea of fighting in a church body. That's how ridiculous it is. That's how silly and foolish it is that there are people that sit in churches that can't even look at one another, can't even go across the aisle and talk to one another. And this is Paul dealing with here, disunity. I was talking to somebody the other day, and a brother in Christ, and he said, Pastor, we have such great unity here. And I said, brother, unity for unity's sake, burn it. But unity for truth's sake, that's what we want. Unity is always based on this book. You know, the Promise Keepers have unity. Jehovah's Witnesses have unity. Listen, unity is based on this book. But listen, don't be that church member. Don't be that one that's that leg that's sticking out. Listen, we want to have unity. We're one body here. We're part one of another. Amen? And so he deals with disunity. He deals also in verses 24 and 25 of disrespect for others' gifts. Very interesting verses here in verses 24 and 25. It says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but members should have the same care one for another. See, there was a disrespect for others' gifts. Listen, this office that I hold right here is no more important than anybody who mops this floor, cleans this carpet, runs that nursery, runs downstairs. I understand, hey, this office is nothing. Listen, because we're all one. And I don't have any disrespect for your... If you get up and sing, I don't say, oh, somebody could sing better. Listen, we don't do that around here. That's what was going on here. They were they were saying the comely parts are more important, you know. And we live in a day where everything is on the outside. But can I tell you, the liver is pretty important. The heart is pretty important. The circulatory system is pretty important. Never seen one that was all that attractive, but it's pretty important, amen? Your body be in trouble without any of those things. So there was disrespect for others' gift. Verse 17 and 18, there was a desiring of the show gifts, if we could say, the out front gifts. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But God, now hath God set the members one of another in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? I just think of, you know, just this gigantic eye, you know, just floating around saying, I wish I could hear. Actually, he couldn't even say it because he's an eye. So he just blink at you, amen? See, that's foolish, isn't it? It'd be foolish if we had 27 people up here preaching right now. It'd be foolish. Utterly foolish. It'd be foolish if every one of you said, God has called me to the mission field, and I'm going. It'd be foolish. Be foolish. See, because God hasn't called everybody to the mission field. God wants people in churches as well as on the mission field. Amen? God, this idea of desiring the show gifts. Well, I want that gift that's out front, that I can be out in front. Be careful. Be careful. You might, watch out, you might be one big eye. Amen? Because the work of God is not about me and it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Provision of gifts. The problem concerning gifts. Number three, the purpose of gifts. Verse 25 says it all, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. First purpose of gifts is that there be no divisions. No divisions. God gives us gifts not so we could say, well, I have this gift and you have this gift. No, it's so that we'd be one body. You know, I'm amazed, and boy, we have some dying flies around here. Does anybody notice that? Up on the platform, I'll be sitting there, and that thing will land. It'll land on my hand, and I mean, I could just slap that thing down. But I don't know, where do we get those from? They're coming out of somewhere. It's January. We're not supposed to have flies. But I'll tell you what, have you ever had a fly get near your eye? You know what the first thing that happens is? Hand to the rescue. Here I come, eye. I'm telling you, if you've ever had something come close to your eye, your hand is always the first thing to go up. Somebody says, heads up, you put your hands up right near you. See, that's a body reflex. That's the way the body's supposed to work. No divisions in the body. Something's coming near your eye, this hand says, well, I hate the eye. Oh. No. See, that's division. That's division. And God uses the human body to say, isn't that silly? Isn't it silly to have division in the body? Yes, it's silly. Yes, it is. Not only no divisions, but no disdain. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know, some in our church are wealthy, and some don't have two nickels to rub together. And you know what? We don't disdain either one of them. We're no respecters of persons, amen? That's what the Bible says. Some live pure lives, and some have lived impure lives before they got saved. We don't have any disdain. If you've come to Christ, we're all one in Christ, amen? Thank God for that. Some are in the choir, some are in bus work. Some usher, some are in the children's work. But praise the Lord, no disdain for anybody else's gifts. Not only no divisions, no disdain, but no dysfunction, verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit wherewithal. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to function at our place in the body. I think it was Grace, Hazel's sister, had mentioned that her son had muscular dystrophy, and he's all knurled up. If you've ever seen somebody like that where they can't extend their arm or their fingers are all curled up, it's sad, isn't it? Because you know that that arm is not functioning properly like God intended it to. If you've ever had to have your arm in a sling or your leg in a sling, you've appreciated it so much when it was able to function properly. You see, folks, whether you're the hand in this body of Christ here at Loomis Park Baptist Church, whether you're the elbow, whether you're the neck or the nose, whatever you are, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to play your role. He wants you to play your... Now, there's certain things we're all supposed to do. We're all supposed to pray. We're all supposed to read our Bible. We're all supposed to try to witness to people. The other things that God has for us in this church, ministry of encouragement and missions giving and all sorts of things. Listen, God wants you to function in your place. In your place. No dysfunction. That was the purpose. The problems of gifts, the provision of gifts, the purpose. Let me give you some principles regarding gifts. First thing is, your gifts should be exercised. God did not give you a gift for you to just not do anything with it. That's foolish. Amen? Listen, if you can sing, help us out. Get in the choir. Amen? Start, you know, ask Pastor Mayor, hey, what do I have to do? And listen, we have some requirements. Listen, we want fellas to wear coats and ties and look sharp and ladies to wear dresses and all that. There's some requirements for leadership. But listen, if you've got a gift, use it. I sung at my dad's funeral. And I had been inviting my family for years to come and hear me preach and sing in a quartet and things like that. And my uncle, who's a sweet man, married my father's sister. They've been married almost 40 years. And he came up to me and he said, "You've been holding out on me." And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "You've been holding out on me." I said, "How's that?" He said, "I had no idea that you could sing like that." And I said, "Well, you've been holding out on me." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I've been inviting you to come hear me sing for 10 years, amen. And I finally my dad had to pass away for you to hear it." But you know, I think there's a lot of us that are holding out on God. God wants us to do something. Young people, God wants you to be a leader, not just sit and soak and sour. God wants you to lead by example. God's got people for you to win. God wants some of us to do extraordinary things that we don't think we can do, but He's gifted us as such. He wants us to exercise those gifts. Our gifts should be exercised. Second principle, our gifts are important to the body. That's why God gave them to us. Our gifts are important. Imagine if Pastor John and myself and others that could preach just said, "You know, I don't think we'll preach today." It'd be foolishness, wouldn't it? Because we wouldn't be exercising the gifts that God gave to us. Listen, stewardship of your gifts is a very real thing. We always think of stewardship, we always think of money. And money, certainly, we'll give account for how we spend our money. We'll give account for how we spend our time. But God has given us gifts. If you want the great example of this, it's the parable when Jesus tells the man about the talents. And He gives one man 5 talents. And He gives another man 2 talents. And He gives another man 1 talent. You know, I've met some 5-talent Christians in my life. They seem like they could do anything and everything. Sing in the key of Gee Whiz, they sing so good. Amen? Preach, give, I mean, everything that you'd want to be. You'd say, "Man, that's a 5-talent Christian." But you'd say, "Well, I'm not a 5-talent Christian." Well, maybe God didn't give you 5 talents. But He wants you to do the best you can with the 2 He gave you. He wants you to do the best He can with the 1 He gave you. He said, "Well, I know I've got this gift. And Lord, bless me with this." See, your gifts are important to the body. Your gifts, thirdly, your gifts should be exercised. Your gifts are important to the body. Your gifts are as important as others. And I just say this, respect the gifts of others. You know, I know some people, man, their gift is truth. They are proclaimers of truth. They don't deal in tact or polish. They tell it to you like it is. And praise the Lord for people like that. God uses people like that. But listen, also have the respect for the gift of that person that, you know what, they're just humble. They just want to clean the carpet. They just want to count the money afterwards or whatever God has gifted them along those lines. Just have respect for others' gift. If your gift is truth, praise the Lord. If your gift is God has gifted you in music, praise the Lord. But praise the Lord for everybody's gifts. Because we're a body. We're not just all about one. We're one body with many members. Number five, very, very important principle regarding gifts. Your gifts are not the end of your service to Jesus Christ. There are some people they're so enamored with the fact that God given them a high solo voice, they don't do anything else. Well, that's my gift, brother. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm glad you can sing like that. Now pick up a shovel. Amen. Grab a broom like the rest of us. Amen. You see, because we're a body, we're all one of another, though we're different. There's a mouth, there's a hand, there's a heart, there's a heel, there's a knee, there's different muscles. There's all these things, but we're all one. Let me just finish off with principles about this. You know what that means, folks? If we're all one, when one of us hurts, we all hurt. Yeah, you wake up in the morning after you have wee bowled for the first time and you go, oh, and your hand comes up and rubs and your shoulder moves. And see, that's because the body's one. Hopefully, when one hurts, do we all hurt? But can I say this? When you sin knowingly, you hurt this body. You hurt this body because we're all one. It means we're all accountable one to another. Listen, it's so important that we understand that this is the body of Christ. This local church is the body of believers. And we have the provision of gifts. We have problems concerning gifts. We have the purpose of gifts, and we have some principles regarding gifts. Hey, let's exercise our gifts. Let's not have any disdain for other people's gifts. Let's not be dysfunctional. Let's not be fighting and fussing. Let's be unified in the Word of God. Father, we pray now you'd bless as we have the invitation time. We thank you that, Lord, you have put this body together as it hath pleased you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to be part of a New Testament local church. Lord, where the Word of God is preached, the Spirit of God has free reign, and the Son of God is lifted up. We pray now you'd bless in our invitation time.